Masechet Avodah Zarah, Perek He, Mishnah Zayin. You're not allowed to benefit in any way from Yayin Nesech, including the money that somebody would receive for selling Yayin Nesech. So here we'll talk about a worker who was working for a non-Jew, a Jewish worker who was working for a non-Jew, and that non-Jew wanted to pay him in wine in Yayin Nesech. Mishnah says, Umanin Israel, if there were Jewish workers, Sheshalach lahem ovet kochavim havit shel yayin nesech bischaran, that the idol worshiper who hired them wanted to pay them in a barrel of yayin nesech as their payment, mutarim lomar lo ten lanu et dameha. The Jewish workers let to tell him, give me the value of the wine that you were going to give me in money instead. Give me the cash value. You're allowed to say that because the employer actually owes you the money, so, and he doesn't owe you wine. So when you're saying that to him, it's not as if you're trading him back wine for Yayin Nesech, which would be a problem. You're just simply refusing to accept the Yayin Nesech as payment, and you want cash instead. But if the Yayin Nesech already entered your possession and you legally acquired it, at that point you wouldn't be able to trade him the Yayin Nesech for cash value, because once you accept the wine as payment, it's owned by the person. And therefore, when he wants to trade it for the money, that money would be basically selling Yayin Nesech, and that would be asur because you're benefiting from Yayin Nesech. We'll continue to talk about the rule for selling wine to an idol worshiper. Once an idol worshiper touches the actual wine, it becomes forbidden. But not only touching the actual wine, but even shaking the wine, the container, a little bit would also make the wine Yayin Nesech. So in order to avoid benefiting from Yayin Nesech, the Jew has to basically sell the wine before the goy turns it into Yayin Nesech. Mishnah says, "Hamocher yino le'oved kochavim." If a Jew sells wine to an idol worshiper, and he wants to benefit from it, obviously, he wants to take that money and use it and benefit from it. Pasak ad shelo madad. If he sets the price of the wine before he measured out how much the non-Jew was going to buy, so then, and the idol worshiper agreed to it, and then he took that amount of wine and he put it into a container, and then the idol worshiper took it. Damav mutarin, the money is permitted for the Jew to benefit from. The moment that the idol worshiper grabbed onto the container, even before he shook it, before he even lifted it towards him in a big way, that millisecond or that millimeter that he moved it, it has now been acquired by the idol worshiper before it became Yayin Nesech. It's just regular Jewish-owned wine at that point. Once the non-Jew grabbed it and he shook it a little bit, that's when it became Yayin Nesech. So if the price was set and everything was agreed upon before he took the wine, and then the moment he took the wine, he did Kinyan Meshicha, even before the halacha that it became Yayin Nesech kicks in, then the Jew was allowed to benefit from that wine. But Madaj Ad Shelo Pasak, if the Jew measured out the wine and then gave it to the idol worshiper before he set the price, and then the idol worshiper accepted it, that's afterwards, then Damav Asurin, the money would be forbidden. The idol worshiper didn't make up his mind if he wanted to buy the wine when he took the container, because maybe it was going to be too expensive for him. So when he took possession, literally in his hand, of the wine, he never really acquired it when he took it. So therefore, when he touched the wine that was in the container, or shook it a little bit, it became Yayin Nesech, but the Jew still owned it at that time. So therefore, if the sale kicked in afterwards, when they agreed on the price and wanted to make the sale, the wine was already Yayin Nesech when it's being sold, and therefore the Jew is not allowed to benefit from that money because he's benefiting from the sale, basically, of Yayin Nesech. Next case, Natal et ha-mashpech u-madad letoch selo hito shel ovet kochavim. The Jew took a funnel, and he took that funnel and put it into the idol worshiper's bottle, and he poured wine into there, and in that bottle of the non-Jew was already Yayin Nesech. V'hazar u-madad letoch selo hito shel Yisrael. Then he took out that funnel, the same funnel, and he measured wine into the Jew's bottle. Im yesh bo akevet yayin asur. If the bottom of the funnel had a little bit of a wine retainer, that means that you'll have some wine that was being poured down, but while the funnel was being pulled out, not all of the wine that was actually in that tube is gonna go into the bottle, but some of it's gonna come back out with it. That's a retainer, that those last drops are gonna stay in the funnel. Then we say the wine that was afterwards poured into the Jew's bottle is prohibited. The reason is we have an idea called nitzok chibur. The flow of liquid that's happening connects it to the liquid on the bottom to the top. So here, in this case, the yayin nesech that was already in the bottle is connected to the funnel. Now when you have wine being poured into that funnel, there's a chibur created. All the wine that is actually in the funnel turns into yayin nesech the moment it enters the funnel, because it's connected in one stream to the wine that's on the bottom of the bottle. So therefore, when the funnel's pulled out and there's still some drops of yayin nesech in there, or still some drops of wine in there, that wine is considered to be yayin nesech, because at one point it was connected physically to the yayin nesech on the bottom. It's a chibur, and therefore when it went into the Jew's bottle afterwards, it was yayin nesech. And even if it was just a tiny bit of yayin nesech, it prohibits whatever became mixed in with it. The opposite case, ha-me'areh mikeli el keli. If a Jew has kosher wine in one container, and there was another container with yayin nesech, and he pours the kosher wine into the yayin nesech. But when he's doing this, the stream of wine is interrupted. He's throwing a little bit in. So whatever wine is leaving the bottle is out of the bottle. It's not connected to the wine that's in the kosher bottle that he's pouring out from. And then it's landing in the yayin nesech. We say, et she'era mimenu mutar. The wine that was in the bottle, the first bottle that was kosher, in that container where he poured from, that wine is permitted because it's not. It doesn't create a chibur. It doesn't create a nitzok chibur, an interrupted flow of liquid from the problematic container of yayin nesech to the kosher bottle of wine. There's an interruption between, because he's not pouring it, let's say, right there and holding it up, or he's just a short spurt of kosher wine is he putting out there. So there's no uninterrupted chibur. But the wine in which he poured it into is prohibited because it was already yayin nesech in there. And even though he's pouring kosher wine into there, the kosher wine becomes part of the yayin nesech, and that becomes problematic.